I'm going to bring my guest in. My first guest is, you know, this guy. He's one of those guys. He's a hyphenate in this business. He writes, he acts, he does music. He's a musician. He's a, what else does he do? Paints? Does he paint? Do you know? No, he doesn't paint. Does he draw? No. Let's see. Actor, writer, director. I know he's directed things. Musician. I know what everybody's thinking right now. I think it's Dave Grohl. It's not. It's Jonah Ray. How are you, buddy?
Well, I wish I was Dave Grohl.
Right?
Like that Waves song. Mm-hmm. I want to be Dave Grohl.
That's right. I forgot about Waves.
Well, Wavavas.
Mm-hmm. Wavavas.
Wavavas.
Yes.
Their favorite movie is Vavitch.
What?
The Vavitch.
The Vavitch.
What's that now? What am I not getting?
It's The Witch, but they stylize
okay,
it
yeah.
With,
yeah. Okay,
so with two V's.
Two V's.
Like yeah. They're like Romans.
Uh-huh. That's right. Did you see Midsommar?
I did see Midsommar.
Are you scared?
I don't know if I was scared at any point, but I did enjoy it.
Do you feel nauseous at any point?
Yeah, I did. There was, you know what struck me that was kind of making me feel weird was all the ADR all mm-hmm. over the place. I was kind of, not to say like, I was saying like bad ADR, but like off screen jokes being put in and then, you know, being put into like one little speaker somewhere behind me.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, there was times I thought people were talking to the theater and I realized it was just.
You just couldn't shut it off, could you? You couldn't shut off your showbiz hat for one.
No, I was just confused. I thought I might have been missing stuff. It was like watching an Altman movie.
Were you just like, what's with the ADR in this thing?
Yeah.
Did you summon the guy, the Arclight guy?
No, I did. I used to be that guy.
You used to be that guy?
I used to have to go tell people to
give us give us one intro that you know you said when you came out and like,
you know, I'll stay on topic. How about that?
Okay. Is this one you actually did though?
Yes, this is one I used to do. this was in the Dome, by the way.
Now for people who don't know, this is in Los Angeles. There's this movie theater, the Arclight. And it costs like $33 to get a ticket to a movie there.
Back when I worked there, it was $30. So.
But what you get for that is that a board employee comes out before the movie and tells you the name of the movie you bought a ticket for.
If you're lucky, they're mm-hmm. bored. If they're into it, that's what I went to that theater before I started working there. And then when someone came up to talk about what movie I was about to see, I remember just being very upset. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to go work there, I was like, I'm not going to be one of those dudes. And then I found out that when you have that as your shift, that's all you do. So I did it because I was like, I burnt the caramel corn that they make there. I caught it on fire.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, maybe I should just introduce the movies.
So then picturing a young Jonah Ray, people are sitting in the theater and here he comes. He walks out to the center of the screen. And says what?
Can I set up the...
Please.
Okay, so this was when Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, was out. Mm-hmm. And we had it on... we were doing 24 hours of screenings on probably about 8 or 9 screens. Like most of the screens were of Star Wars. And the people that came to see it were very angry. Because it wasn't at the Chinese theater for the first time.
Yeah.
Star Wars wasn't premiering down the street at the Chinese theater on Hollywood.
Yeah.
And so, we were starting to run out of food. There was a lot of irate fans that were being very disrespectful to the staff. And,
what do you mean you're out of hot dogs?
There was one guy that said, I'll take 3 hot dogs. I'm on a date.
Oh my God. So this is the mood.
So it's just chaos everywhere. I burned my arm, real bad on the popcorn machine. And so I was very upset. And then but I had to go introduce a movie. So I went and, went to the Cinerama Dome. It's a full house. People are excited to see, you know, how many O's are in the word no.
Uh-huh.
At the end of it.
Yes.
And then I go up and I'm just upset. So I grab the microphone and I go, all right, nerds, this is it. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Arclight Hollywood. And this is it. This is the last one. What are you going to do after this? What are you going to do after this is done? There's no more Star Wars. How foolish I was. I say, this is how you find out how Captain Picard becomes Darth Vader. And I was like, also, spoiler alert, the little kid this whole time, turns out, he's Darth Vader, and then also the Millennium Falcon's in there. So don't mess up the place more than you already have stunk it up, and enjoy this movie. And then when I was walking off, some people were booing me. And then a manager was there. I didn't see him. And then he ended up coming up to me. I was like, oh, no, here we go.
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, I probably would have said the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Screw these nerds.
Yeah, he got it.
He was upset, too.
Were they going to ask for their money back?
Yeah.
No, the guy before the thing hurt our feelings.
Yeah.
Great, here's your money back.
I never, you know, there's a ton of stuff. If you see anyone introducing a movie at that theater that says anything more than you're here to see this movie, if there's any problems with the sound, find someone, and we'll be off to the side during the trailers. And after that, find someone and we'll come and take care of it. You don't have to say anything. So it's like, you're here to see what was there when I was there? You're here to see The Aviator. Are you here to see, Crash?
The running time is,
Don't need to know that. They already bought the ticket.
Yeah.
And it's a starring. We don't care. We're going to find out in a bit. Yeah.
When they show us the thing that we bought the ticket for.
Yeah. There would be times I would do day shifts and there was only like five people and there. I go, everyone good? All right. Roll the movie.
I remember one time going, I saw Phantom Thread, not Phantom Menace, Phantom Thread. It was in 70 millimeter. I went to an 11 PM show. I was the only one in the theater. And someone had to come out and say, like, this is Phantom Thread, running times, 2 hours and 10 minutes. And if there's any problems with it's projected in 70 millimeter, presented in 70 millimeter, if any problems, let me know. And it was just me. He's like, he could have just come up to my seat and told me that. He didn't have to stand in front of the screen. It's like, what's your name?
Yeah.
Keith.
Thanks, Keith. It was a fun job, though.
Yeah.
Because I would only do – I told him I had a job at night, so I couldn't work night shifts for the most part. And so I would find – you know, it would be during the week when there was just like during an off movie season, like when the Amityville Horror remake starring Ryan Reynolds was in the dome, you know, like two people would show up and I'd just say, all right, start the movie. And then I would just sit in a seat and then fall asleep. I've probably seen more, I've seen the Amityville Horror remake more times than movies I actually like.
Yeah.
Just because I was just there.
And would just kind of zonk out in the theater.
He's real buff in it, that Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
He's America's top comedian now, apparently.
Yes. And for a Canadian, that means a lot.
Yes. It means he's like Mike Myers or John Candy. He's in the tradition.
Tradition of,
And you know how ripped those guys were.
Yeah. You know, I was recently watching The Great Outdoors, and it was very – in the middle of the movie, I was like, wow, both these guys are not in shape. You know, John Candy is, of course, John Candy. Then Dan Aykroyd, he's no slim chicken.
He's catching up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just like, these were two of the biggest comedy stars when this movie came out.
Yeah.
And
actual slobs.
Yeah. And it didn't make a difference to me.
No, of course not. Why would it? It's you. When you watch Meet the Parents, and there's a scene when Ben Stiller is in his Speedo, and it's supposed to be this like humiliating scene. It's like this dude is so jacked. What's funny about this? He's in amazing shape, and he's pulling off a Speedo because he's in. He's like you're supposed to be like, oh, this is so embarrassing. Oh. It's like. No, this dude is ripped.
Yeah.
He should be walking around the Speedo all the time.
It's like a comedy star should be embarrassed to wear a short sleeve shirt on screen.
Yeah.
That should be like a moment where you're like, it's short sleeve shirts only. And you're like, he's got fat arms.
Yeah.
What's he going to do?
Oh, this dude was, I don't get it. All these comedians are in shape now.
Yeah. I remember seeing that. What's the guy from, SNL that, was going out with the pop star?
Pete Davidson.
I remember seeing him at Montreal, and I remember the new faces that year and being like, wait, what's the prerequisite for looks to be a new face this year in Montreal?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to my chances?
Yeah. Oh, no, your ship sailed
a long time ago.
Yes.
I remember I was like 3 years into comedy and they like I tried to become a new face and they told my manager, well, he's not a new face anymore.
Uh-huh.
I was like, but I've only been here for 3 years.
Yeah. That's so when you came here, you grew up in Hawaii.
Yes, on Oahu.
And you came to Los Angeles. What was your path from Oahu?
I graduated high school in 2000 and I just hung around and played in bands and stuff like that when I was, in Hawaii for about a year. And then, shortly after I turned 19, I moved out to Santa Monica.
Okay.
Cause I knew I could get a job at a record store mm-hmm. in Venice Beach called, Benway Records.
Okay.
But it was too expensive to live for more than 3 months, which was the lease, it turns out. I had a 3-month lease, mm-hmm. could barely afford it for that time, and then moved down to San Pedro, okay. where I had a ton of friends, which is, for those listening, it's kind of near Long Beach. It's a very kind of working class town, so it's very cheap. I shared a house with a guy named Dan Destructo.
Okay.
And so
you moved in with Dan Destructo.
Yeah.
And San Pedro, everybody knows San Pedro is the most pedigreed band of Minutemen.
Yeah.
Flew the flag for San Pedro so hard.
Yeah.
That I remember just being like, one time I came out to Los Angeles, like, I'm going to drive to San Pedro. I got to check this place out. And I just get there. I'm like, what?
There's nothing to see. Yeah, like, there's nothing really
it's just a place.
It's just a place. But it's like a place that never really recovered. It's odd. It's the town that has the port of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the busiest, most rich ports in the world, and Pedro does not see a dime of that because it belongs to the city of Los Angeles.
It's rolling right past them.
Yeah. And so you see this town full of, you know, longshoremen and working class people that don't really benefit from, you know, there's a building that's still up that I remember it was like abandoned when I was living there because of asbestos. And then mm-hmm. it's at a spot now where it's like too expensive to tear down, too expensive to renovate.
Yeah.
But, you know, then it's like a lot of great music came from there, you know.
The Hard Hats. Well, I'm not
FYP.
I'm just saying the people there are Hard Hats.
The Hard Hats.
Yeah. You know, Lunch Pail.
Yeah,
lunch
yeah, pail yeah. Guys.
Yeah. They get the eggs in the bar.
Yeah.
From the.
Yeah, the pickled eggs.
Yeah. They'll be like, I'll eat that.
At Godmother's or Rebels or any of these places that claim that, Bukowski drank there.
Mm-hmm.
But he was sober by the time he moved to Pedro, so. But I used to go down to some of those bars and they're rough and tumble. I would see some crazy fights. I saw a dude, bump into another guy, two longshoremen, you know, flannel, mustache, longshoremen. And the guy, who got bumped, like told the guy to, you know, like take off.
Yeah.
Take a hike.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to swear. I don't want to take your lead and swear on the show.
I'm going
to
say that, you know, thank you that I happened for the first time ever. I cursed on the show and it was, I'm not going to make a habit out of it.
You know, Neil Mahoney told me right away about the swear. Really? He was very excited.
Neil Mahoney, legendary worst caller of the year. What was his title?
Womp of the year or something?
Gomp of the year.
Yes.
Womp.
I don't know what womp is. Is that a CBB thing?
Yeah, that's it.
It's an Earwolf show.
No.
Womp it up yeah. with Jessica St. Clair.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. But I'm trying not to swear.
Jessica St. Clair ain't walking through that door. We're not talking about that. Don't worry. First of all, Devin, calm down.
I'm good.
You don't have to be the Earwolf dude now.
I was just saying, womp it up.
Okay.
Different networks.
Yeah, if only.
You don't see me here talking about Jonah Radio with Cash and Neil, where we just take, you know, submissions from bands. You don't hear me talking about my podcast. It's on Scarborough Country Network, you know, like where we listen to bands and stuff like that that submit.
Well, look, finish this story and then we're going to get into that. I want to get into this.
But I saw a guy gets bumped into and he tells the guy to, you know, take a hike or whatever. And then that guy, with his, beer mug, picks up and then, punches that guy in the face with the beer mug.
Okay.
Like it shatters, it cuts his face open. And then that guy just takes the punch, turns.
Yeah.
And then like doesn't fall and then just knocks that guy out.
Yeah. That's bad news.
Turns back and knocks the guy out.
Yeah. If you don't take care of business with a mug.
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
And then the guy, after he knocks out the dude, goes to the bartender and says, can I get a rag and another beer?
Oh my God. For a blood rag.
Yeah. Blood rag.
Can I get a blood rag? Well, they already know. If you ask for a rag, it's a blood rag.
It's a blood rag.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah. Speaking of places, that's a place I would go steal beers.
Look, I didn't bring it up. You brought it up.
You know what? Other people still bring it up to
you
me.
You couldn't help yourself.
I couldn't help myself.
It's like,
but I want to end
the telltale heart. Oh, I ended it already. This is over.
No, it's not. It's not.
All right, fine. So let me just clear that. First of all, tell everybody about your network.
Oh, I'm just on.
Tell everybody about the network you're on.
Oh, Sklarbo Country.
Yeah,
it's the Sklars. They have a new network with it, which is like a subsidiary of Starburns. Starburns okay. Audio. So anyway, Jonah Radio's over there now.
Okay.
We just keep on hopping networks, hoping that someone will give us at least $5 to do the show.
Mm-hmm. So, and people can hear Jonah Radio, which you've been doing Jonah Radio for a while.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it crazy?
We're trying now. It feels like we're doing a different show now.
Mm-hmm.
But we still, you know, get angry at each other. But it's still like, we're still finding bands. Bands are still submitting songs.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
And how many years is it in?
I don't know. 6 or 7. Can't remember.
Now you're in the sweet spot.
Yeah. Now we don't
care. You're comfortable doing
it. Now we're comfortable doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're not... You started off on what network?
We were on the Nerdist Network,
mm-hmm.
And then left that a while back, and then because we wanted to go over to Max Fun, and then we were at Max Fun for a year, and then the Sklars asked if we wanted to come to their new network mm-hmm. that they were starting, and then they've been good buds for
sure.
Since I started, so we wanted to go over there and help them out, and then I like the idea of just like when I was a kid, on VHS, I owned the Great Rock and Roll Swindle
okay,
from the Sex Pistols. And I always just kind of like the idea that we keep on hopping around.
Yeah. Just bouncing from, it's like you're a free agent.
Yes.
Yeah. You keep just trying different teams on for size.
Yeah. No one's giving me like a multi-record deal. I just need to get the one.
Yes. Maybe this is the right one.
This is the right one.
The Sklars.
Yeah.
You know, the Sklars are probably, they have a contingency plan for when you bolt.
I think they're, yeah, they probably do. I'm not reliable.
You're not here to poach. You're not going to poach.
No. I don't have that capacity, to be honest with you.
Nor would they want it. Earwolf has had many opportunities to make an offer to me, having been a part of this scene for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
to no profit. But, you know... I'll keep on trying. Maybe, in the 100th anniversary of Comedy Bang Bang, maybe I'll be allowed back on the show.
100th anniversary. You mean 100 years?
Yes, 100 years from now.
So it'll be like a hologram of Scott Aukerman.
I think all podcasters have spoken enough words into that they could easily manifest any conversation they want out of anything we've done.
Just run it through some kind of thing that taps into what you would say.
Yes.
So there'll probably be like a real living person who initiates certain things, and then it'll suddenly be just like.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Like the dead version of whatever podcaster it is.
Yeah,
will just tap into their personality.
Yeah, so basically, I think like a programmer would go on and say, you know, it'd be so great to have Tom Sharpling, who of course died in the great tidal wave, the New York tidal wave of 2025.
Yeah,
and then
only 6 years, huh?
Yeah.
All right, that's fair.
I mean, but like
more than
I like how you took it as you only have 6 years, not the entire area.
Think about everybody. If I'm gone, they're gone.
Then who would they like? Who you would be talking to? I don't know. Extension, Extension
yeah.
Prime.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
And then they would every word that ever that person ever said, and every word you ever said, and they would say, and I want them to talk about, you know,
whatever's happening in 20. Yeah. Well, if I'm dead in 2025, I'd hope there would at least be a grace period before they would just create some version would be like, it's like, man, he's gone.
Well, no, this is going to be in like 90 years.
That's right. So I've, wait, but that's kind of a leap. Look, assuming that people are going to be like, when the technology catches up, then Tom will come back finally. And fight, like, as if they're keeping the flame alive.
Yeah.
We can do it.
Don't they do something like that in the movie Her, where they get like Alan Watts? It's like they basically take every word he ever said and then made an AI out of him.
Uh-huh.
Yes. That would be essentially what's going to be able to happen to every podcaster.
So I'll be great. Well, that'll be.
Yeah.
I hope the people 90 years from now, boy, oh boy, you guys have so much to look forward to of finally hearing. You finally get to hear an episode of You Made It Weird. What you finally can know what Pete Holmes would think in the 22nd century.
In that collage that you presented earlier, was that AG saying that he didn't like Pete's laugh?
No, it's Nick Kroll.
Oh, it was Nick Kroll?
Yeah. He didn't like the laugh.
Yeah.
It's my favorite clip ever. Yeah. So, no, that's a great thing. We look forward to the tech. Oh, I want to say this. If you're listening to this in the 22nd century, hello.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Sorry for what we did. We all could have stopped it, apparently. We were all complicit in it.
We stopped using bags and straws, and yet to no avail.
We thought we were working toward fixing the thing, but we really weren't. And we watched it. What happened to you guys?
We tweeted about trying to fix it.
We just watched it happen. And then when we changed our phones every 2 years, yeah, that probably didn't help you at all.
But now you have buildings made out of old phones.
Yes, exactly. You've got all those monuments. Old phones. You know, those were our phones once.
Those were our phones once. You know, find our thumbprints in the Matrix, print it out. And then see which one you can find.
Yes, and it's sorry that the life expectancy is 30 years now for a human because of what we did to the planet.
But hey, that's probably what the cavemen, that was their life.
Yes.
The cave people.
So, yes, well, thank you for, first of all, not just saying cavemen, I appreciate that.
It's cavemen and women.
Very, very progressive of you.
Thank you so much.
And that's the kind of thing
I think
you get
less than. I think they're less than.
Oh, okay. Well, this is not Jonah Radio. Come on. Let's keep the.
Got to keep it positive on Best Show.
Yeah. It is a positive show.
Is it?
Yes. Devin, you're a super fan.
Yeah.
It's fair to say, right?
I own the box set.
So you own the box set. Yes.
I got a piece of the phone as
well. You have a piece. So you pre-ordered the box
set. I did pre-order
the box. That's
the
nicest thing I've ever heard. What is your favorite thing about the Best Show? It's the positivity, right?
It's the unending positivity. Unwavering.
The problem is, and I don't know why people don't understand this, I'm not negative. I'm positive. I know how the world could be, and I am just disappointed by how it is. that's the rub.
Yeah.
I know how it could be, but I see how it is. And I will never be able to make those two things come together. There will always be a rift because I just know. I know what people are capable of. When did you start listening to the show, Devin?
2009, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, that was building to a troubling run. I always can feel the... 2010 was a troubling year for the Best Show.
Oh, so you weren't even listening when I was first mentioned on the podcast then, which I think was in 2007 or 8.
Yeah.
I went back.
Do you know the legend? Do you know the legend of Jonah Ray on the show?
No, I don't think I do, no.
Well, he wants to put this to bed tonight, and we will, maybe.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
We have in real life, but I want it to be on the waves, man.
This is how
it doesn't get solved unless other people hear it. This is something I found.
What year are we talking about?
Right now?
No, what year did it go down in?
I think 2007.
2007. Now picture this.
Over 10 years ago.
Los Angeles, 2007.
Koreatown.
George W. Bush is president. Right?
Yes.
Yeah,
2007.
He had to think about it because it wasn't really him, man. Right. We all saw Adam McKay's Vice Squad.
Yes, Adam McKay's Vice Squad. So now Los Angeles. I'm at a place called Barcade.
Miss T's Barcade.
Which is, get this, a bar and an arcade. Hence the name Barcade.
Can you still call it a barcade when pretty much none of the games worked?
Yes, that was one of those ones where it's just like, hey, can I get my quarter back?
Yeah.
You just have to go back up to the bar.
Yeah.
Hey, the Donkey Kong machine's not working. It ate my quarter. Yeah, here you go.
It happened again. Please stop putting them in there.
Stop playing, trying to play Donkey Kong.
I can't get the quarters out of there either. Yes.
So. So I'm there with my friend Marcia. And I went in, had a cold beer, right? And then set it down on the bar, turn around, it's gone. Now, who on earth could have taken this beer? Let me just tell you this. A young, hungry comedian, Jonah Ray, yet to be flush with the success that waited, that was awaiting him a few years later. He's like an urchin at this point. He's grinding out. He's on his grind. He's just doing what he can to get by. He's at the bar. Now, just realize that a video that Jonah had made earlier that year was a video on how to steal beer from people in bars.
It's a fictionalized version of what one would do. It was called The Freeloader's Guide to Easy Living, and the first episode was about how to get free drinks. Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways to get free drinks was you steal them when people aren't looking, right?
I mean, as a visually, you wait for a big song to go on to clear out the...
So, I turn around. The beer's gone. Suddenly, this guy has a beer in his hand. He denies it was him.
Let's just say that I also was ordering a cold beer and I turned to talk to a friend, which I had many of there.
Oh, no, you were a very popular guy. Very popular guy back then. You're still popular. But at that place, you were like the you were running things.
I drank there a lot by myself.
Sure.
And so as I was waiting for a drink, I talked to a friend. And I turn back and I see a nice cold beer waiting for me. So I grab it, start drinking it.
Yeah, because that's how it works.
That's what I thought.
When they just appear.
When you order it, sure. I don't know how long I was talking to my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I turn back, the beer's there.
Sure. When the bartender brought your, see, according to your story now, though, what should have followed is the bartender going like, here's your beer. And you're like, oh, I thought I had my beer already. No, I'm bringing your beer. That was his beer.
So wait,
where's that moment?
But in this moment, the bartender never says to you, here's your beer.
Oh, I had it already.
You had it already?
Yes.
Had you taken any drinks?
I had just gotten it.
Ooh. So you weren't that thirsty for it. Didn't seem like even really.
What do I have to chug it? To own it? For ownership, you have to chug it? Was it a race?
You order a drink. It shows up. You're like, I'm going to let this sit for a while. You know what? The bubbles, normally they hurt my tongue. I'm going to let this, flatten out a bit.
This is what you call a switcheroo, what he's doing right now. He's trying to create a different argument. Mm-hmm.
This has been
the argument
my stance from the start.
The argument I'm saying
from
is
that night.
You stole my beer. You're saying, can you believe this guy doesn't drink beer fast? What's wrong with him, right? This guy's a weirdo. He got the beer. He's trying to make me like I'm the villain in this somehow.
You're trying to tell me that you ordered a beer. You were sitting there. You're trying to say like it just dropped down. You had it. And then I took
I had it in my hand and then set it and talked to someone and turned around again and it was gone. I didn't know you had to keep it in your hand. Otherwise it was up for grabs. I didn't realize that's how it worked. It's not general seating at a festival.
So when you order a beer at a bar you're hanging out and then a beer shows up.
Yeah.
Do you ask everyone around you, hey, everyone, before I pick this up and, of course, put it back down so I can flatten it out a bit, I want to know if this is your beer? You, sir, ma'am, your beer?
This is so off point. This is literally how it happened. I go, one beer, please. Bartender comes over. Hands me the beer. I hand the bartender money. Take the beer. I had some of the beer also. See, that's the thing. Now you don't realize.
You said you didn't have any of the beer.
I didn't say that. I just didn't drink all of it. You were drinking my backwash.
Now you're trying to tell me that I was drinking some of your backwash? Listen, this is what
that's what happens when you steal people's beers.
It was a big misunderstanding.
No, you literally made a video explaining how to steal beers from people. That's like if I did it level confession. That's like OJ writing a book, If I Did It.
You've been poisoning the New York podcast community against me ever since then.
I'm not in the New York podcast. There's no such thing as the New York podcast.
Julie Newmar. What's her name? The redhead?
Julie Newmar. Julie Klausner.
Julie Klausner. Uh-huh. Repeated references to me being no good.
Yeah, of course. No, well, you stole the beer.
It was a misunderstanding.
No, you're trying to turn it into a, you're trying to lessen the charge on this too. Misunderstanding. I am guilty of misunderstanding. You stole the beer. You were
unknowingly stole a beer.
Unknowingly.
You're saying that it was malicious. You're saying it was malicious.
I don't think it's malicious to steal a beer. I just think you're just out for a free beer. I'm not saying there's malice in it. It's a low stakes crime.
Sure.
So you grab people's beers. It was sport to you back then. You see how many beers you can get away with snaking that night.
Not true.
It's fine.
I had ordered a beer. I was working at that time.
Sure. Working on videos explaining how to steal beers from people.
That paid me to make them.
Sure. But why wouldn't you keep that money?
So have you never written anything?
Oh, I've written stuff.
Oh, you've written stuff.
Yeah, maybe you've seen the Christmas episode of Divorce.
No, I haven't.
Well, it's waiting for you. It's very moving.
I'm sure I'll get to it eventually.
Do you like Robert Forster?
Yes, the actor?
Yes, the actor Robert Forster.
Yeah.
He's in it.
Okay.
Nice guy. You know what he gave me? Letter opener.
Did he?
Yeah. Mm. He brings letter openers to set. He's like, yeah, I get this gift. I give them out to the people. And they just like, who, and he was like looking at the call sheet with me. He's like, who else should I give the letter openers to on this thing?
And it was you.
No, he gave me mine already.
Oh, he already gave you mine.
Yeah. But, so anyway, I've written things. What was your point? Have I written things and have it come true or something? Is that what you're going to try to say?
I was going
to
say, have you written things that maybe, were fake? Maybe it was a fake thing.
Sure. Yeah. I know what that's like. And you're trying to, you dreamt it though. You came up with the, you were giving advice.
Yes. I'm the one that came up with stealing drinks.
Well, you're the one who filmed a video of you teaching people how to do it. It's fine.
It was a sketch.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. You stole the beer. It's fine. You just say, I stole the beer. You stole it.
All right,
here we go.
Tom?
Yeah?
I want to apologize.
Oh, I don't need an apology.
Sure as hell fooled me.
I don't
need wanted admittance.
I just want admittance.
You want guilt.
Yeah. No, it's not guilt. You had to do what you had to do at that point.
Do you still drink beer?
You were an urchin.
I was 23 or 4.
Yeah. You were a grifter. Young Hollywood comedian grifter, you and your little rat pack there of
who was in my rat pack?
TJ Miller and
I didn't even know that dude then.
Eric Andre,
not part of my scene, dude. They weren't even in LA yet.
Who was in your scene?
Neil Mahoney, Peter Atencio.
Okay,
and
he directed Freddy. What was the movie?
Freddy, Keanu.
Keanu,
yeah, and Key and Peele.
Yes,
yeah,
okay. And so to you, Peter Atencio.
Neil Mahoney.
And who else was in your crew?
That's this guy, Jason Ruiz.
Okay.
That was my crew. Mm-hmm. That was my rat pack of comics.
Look, as a sidebar, and this is, we can edit this out if this bothers you. how many sleepless nights do you have with all this Kumail success? This just haunts you, right? It haunts you a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest.
It has to.
I don't know.
It has to.
I don't. Are you, like, do you want me to be serious, or do you want me to kind of like?
I'm joking.
To it?
I'm joking.
Yeah,
I'm winding you up. Just admit you stole the beer. Just admit it. It's fine.
Is that all you want? Admittance.
Just say you did it, and then this is over until the end of this will be over forever.
But why would I admit to something that was
something you did?
It was
because it's the right thing to do.
But it was an accident. It was a mistake.
Yeah.
It was a misunderstanding.
Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes.
And then you said you stole my beer, and I told you.
But see, the thing I don't understand is you're claiming you went up to the bar, ordered a beer, and then a beer appeared that I had been holding.
Stop dropping elements out of my story. I said I ordered a beer.
Yeah.
Which at a bar I go to all the time. Then start chatting with someone nearby.
Yeah.
Like friends.
Then you turn around.
Turn around. There's a beer there.
Yeah. And you just go, oh, this is my beer.
It's my beer.
So then what happened when the bartender brought your beer over, though?
You know what? Because you got in on it, I was like, oh, I didn't know it was your beer.
Yeah. But what happened when the bartender brought this, your beer over?
I was like, my mistake.
So you had two beers then.
You acted like you stopped me at that moment and said you were taking, I was taking your beer. And I said, sorry, I didn't realize it was yours.
Yeah.
Neither of us can really remember exactly what happened.
Oh, I remember it. I remember it.
What happened then? What happened when the bartender brought my beer?
See, this is what actually happened. You got the beer. You stole my beer.
Yeah.
Then you went over and you played Dig Dug. You skulked over to a Dig Dug machine. It was probably broken. You're probably pretending it worked. I wouldn't.
You were letting them know that the Donkey Kong was broken. They put down the quarter to pay you back. I took your beer and your quarter
and
went over to Dig Dug.
Well, I don't know about the quarter. This is a new crime I'm hearing about. It's okay.
Okay. All right. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
What's the thing? What's the thing that the West Memphis 3 had to do?
Don't lump anything of a real crime in with this. This is low stakes. That's real human suffering.
That's true.
I'm just trying
to remember the thing when you admit guilt, but like you still don't say you did it.
You can call it admit guilt. Just admit it. It's okay.
Can I give you a beer?
That's not what the point is.
It's not the point. I know.
I don't need a beer,
but I want to give you one.
Do you have one on you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my goodness. You brought a beer with you. Well, this is unbelievable.
Here you go.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing with this beer. This is your beer. You have your own beer now.
Yeah.
This didn't cost you anything.
Yes, it did. I don't make money off of that.
No,
they won't give me any free
Notorious
ones.
POG.
Notorious POG.
POG. And what's that? Is that stand for?
Passion Orange Guava.
Okay.
It's a type of juice that I grew up drinking in Hawaii.
Okay. Well, thank you for the beer. I mean, it was a bottle, but this is a can. So that's it's close enough.
You're not remembering it right. They were pints, friend. They were pints of Asahi.
Chose.
No, you weren't.
I don't know what that dumb dump of a bar had in it. You think I actually care about this? All I care about is justice. You stole the beer.